Gospel of John, chapter 20, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 31. So, I'm reading from the New International Version. Hear now the word of our Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many miracles or many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Well, this morning we come to another one of the post-resurrection encounters. It's easy for us to forget that after the resurrection, Jesus didn't immediately go up into heaven, but he stuck around for a little while. For 40 days, he walked the earth and he appeared to many, many people. Somewhere in the scriptures, it says that he appeared to over 100 people at once after the resurrection. And he did this, he continued his earthly ministry here for another 40 days after the Passion, so that he could continue preaching, so that he could continue preparing us for the life of the church. And I always enjoy during the Easter season to go and look at many of these encounters. And this one here is one which we always end up finding our way to. And yet, I think sometimes in reading this particular encounter, we miss the point. But I want to take a moment and look at what I believe the true point of this encounter was. Well, first of all, as we look at this passage, it started on the day of Easter. So, in your brain, switch back a couple weeks, which, depending on the year, it could still be Easter this morning. But as we look, the evening of Easter, all of the disciples, except for one, were gathered together in the upper room. And Jesus appeared to them. Have you ever missed out on a really cool opportunity and all your friends tell you about it, but you just happen not to be there? That's always the big thing. Whenever you have friends or family that are together, and you don't want to miss anything. And inevitably it happens that the one time you're gone, that's when something awesome happens. I've heard many stories over the years of great events that have happened, of great appearances of the Holy Spirit, and always there's someone who missed out, maybe because they were tired and they didn't want to get up and go that day, or maybe they got stuck in traffic, or maybe they missed it for another reason. But then constantly you're reminded of the fact that you missed that one thing. You're like, man, if only I could go back, how much I would love to have been there. My dad's told some awesome stories from his time at Asbury, and Now, every time I'm on campus in chapel, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, do it again, because I want some of those awesome stories, like what my dad has said. Those awesome stories of when God appears. Well, the disciples here had one of those situations. They were gathered together in the upper room. We're told that the door was locked, the windows were shut tight, and then suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. And this is the first time that any of the 12 have seen the risen Lord. Now we know that by this time Mary Magdalene had seen the risen Jesus. We know the disciples on the road to Emmaus had seen the risen Jesus. But now all of the disciples except for Thomas get to see Jesus with their own eyes. And then Thomas comes along a little late to the party. And he has this moment where he gets this famous nickname that has plagued him for the last 2,000 years of Doubting Thomas. All because he wasn't there with them in the upper room. But then when Jesus finally does appear and Thomas is there, he believes. Now, I love the story of Thomas because I think any one of us at different times in our lives have been Thomas. And really, if you look at the scriptures, I think Thomas gets a little bit of a bad rap because none of the apostles, except for John, believed until they saw the risen Jesus standing in front of them. We read of the story of Peter and John running to the tomb, and Peter looked in the tomb, and we're told that he went away wondering what possibly could have happened. We have the disciples on the road to Emmaus, like we talked about last week, who, even after hearing the testimony of those who had seen the risen Savior, they did not believe. And now we have the disciples gathered in the upper room. The only one of them who believes that Jesus has risen is John. And even John has seen the empty tomb. So I really want you to notice here that none of the disciples believe without seeing evidence first. But because Thomas was absent, because he was tardy, because he missed that single moment, he gets the nickname for all of eternity, Doubting Thomas. Simply because he wanted the same evidence that all the other disciples had already received. And really, when I look at Thomas, I wonder if his words were not truly out of doubt, but simply out of disappointment for having missed it. Because when Jesus finally arrives and Thomas sees him, we're not told that he did what all of these paintings and depictions of the encounter between Doubting Thomas and Jesus show, with Thomas leaning in, okay, let me inspect that, let me put my finger there, let me see your side. Jesus shows him his hands and his side, and Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God." He believes. And I think somewhere deep down, Thomas believed from the very start. He just wanted the same evidence that everyone else had. Many times in our lives, we find ourselves in the exact same position as Thomas. I think many times we find ourselves hoping to encounter Jesus in a real and tangible way, and yet we have that little voice that whispers in the back of our head, says, "Yeah, but really, could it possibly be true?" And we all find ourselves doubting even those things that we have seen with our own eyes.
And yet God calls us to believe. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to our faith, we are in a position that was not granted, or that we have not been granted what the disciples were all given. Because we are being asked to believe in the testimony of someone else 2,000 years after the fact. We all are asked to believe without seeing evidence of the risen Lord. And it's easy at times to fall into doubt, but I would actually make the argument, and I'm not the first pastor to make this argument. Actually, one I was talking to earlier this week made this exact argument when he preached on this passage last week, that there is a difference between doubt and lack of faith. Just because you experience doubt at times does not mean you do not have faith. I want you all to think of a moment in your life when you experienced doubt, whether in your faith or in another situation. Does that doubt mean that you didn't still have faith? Scripture gives us a definition of faith, that faith is believing in things that are unseen, having hope in Jesus Christ without having the evidence. And the good news of the gospel, brothers and sisters, is that we can have hope. We have a hope for the future found in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And at times, we will have that whispering doubt in the back of our minds. We'll have situations in our life where it seems like God isn't there. We've all experienced those moments where we have to ask, how could God let this happen? We have those moments of doubt in which it feels like our faith is being tested, in which we say, Lord, if you are really there, why would you let this happen? And in those moments, we, like Thomas, want to see the risen Lord with our own eyes. And the truth is that whether we can see him or not, Jesus is there. We must not allow our doubt to define who we become. Rather, we must allow our faith, even in those moments of doubt, to be the guiding factor of our lives. It's easy to follow Jesus when everything is going well. It's easy to follow Jesus when things seem perfectly clear. When you have those Spirit-filled moments in which there is absolutely no doubt. It's much harder when we're faced with doubt on all sides, when things don't seem to be going our way, when we have to stop and think, okay, am I just fooling myself? What's going on? But it's in those moments, brothers and sisters, that we are called to cling to our faith. We are called to believe in Jesus Christ, even though we can't see him with our own eyes. And in those moments where we allow our faith to guide us, we can know that God is there. Thanks to Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, who is there with us, speaking into our hearts each and every day. We can have faith, we can have hope, because we do indeed serve a risen Savior. Amen? And he was seen not only by his closest friends, but he was seen by hundreds of people. It's easy to doubt the testimony of one or two people. But when hundreds of people all come together saying that they have seen the risen Lord, then why have doubt? Now, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you that there are never moments in my life where those whispering moments of doubt try to creep in. And I know that there will be times in each one of our lives where we find ourselves asking God, why? Why? But in those moments, don't let momentary doubt steal your joy. As we look at the life of Thomas, we can see that after that moment of doubt, he went on to live a life of faith. Now, do you think he ever had another moment where he had a little bit of doubt? Probably. But in those moments, he remembered who Jesus was. And that's what we are called to do as well. Let us be people of faith, even in the midst of our doubt. Let us allow that faith to guide us, because we can hold on to the hope that we serve a risen Savior. And through Him, we can have hope for the future. Amen.